All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'm going to be your handler, and I'm joined by my very good friends, Jean,
Hello.
Playing Benedict.
Hi.
I'm joined by Dace, playing Busiek.
Happy to be here, pal.
All right, I'm not going to entertain that. I feel like it was an invitation to conflict, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I am joined by Brad, playing Hank.
I want to fight you.
You know what? In a way, I appreciate that because it was direct. So direct. How are you guys doing? How are things going? Someone was just saying that it feels like it's been a while, and that's because for us, for recording, it has. It has been a minute.
Yep.
How you guys been doing?
Old.
Still yeah. alive.
Bees.
Is it... Bees?
Bees.
Bees.
Motherfucking bees.
But you your bee problem.
Your stories sound much more interesting.
No,
no,
I don't.
No, continue with the bees.
What's the bee situation?
Not the bees. I've had bees in my bathtub for the last 10 years. I've been cohabitating with them.
What?
On the outside. Obviously, I'm not like in them. I don't bathe in bees. I'm not a fucking psychopath.
I don't know if you're familiar with Oprah, John, but like, yeah. Have you seen that meme, John?
No.
Oh,
she,
God.
Well, she's had a show and she would give out prizes at the end of the show. And there's this meme where she's just like, bees.
It's the episode where it's like where she gives a card to everyone in the audience, and she's all freaking out. But someone then puts like captions over it. Look under your seat, bees. And they're like, and all these people are like crying, and hysterical, and they're like bees all over the screen.
Everywhere.
Very good.
So it was actually very close to that, except no Oprah and more hellish. So as it turns out. This was fine for like a good decade until there's a leak in the pipes. Then it becomes a real problem because you kind of have to fix the leak in the pipes that the bees have covered with wax and honey and everything else. So we got the beekeeper in. I'll try and keep this short. We got the beekeeper in. He attached a box on the outside to encourage the bees to go through and like not be able to get back into their old hive but can get into the new one. Eventually the queen emerges, goes outside, and everything's fine and they live happily ever after making honey for this dude. But the problem is... there was a heat wave. The problem is there was a lake of liquid below my bath from the leak. The problem is that when the bees go away, the hive rots.
Oh.
Then, wait for it, then the beetle larvae emerge.
What?
Oh, God.
So the actual beautiful honeycomb, it goes this dark black mold. So there's mold that grows on the honeycombs. This is a night. It's like literally I've been thinking of doing a Delta Green campaign that just is about like the buzzing in the bathtub. And it's about this last week of my life. It's a fucking nightmare. It's been horrible.
It's autobiographical.
In the bathtub.
It's
truly
it
the
was,
real horror is
the worst part.
Oh, beetles are attracted to this rotting
no,
hive?
Or they live there.
Larva in there. Okay.
They live there, and the bees just keep their population in check. But when the bees leave, like, mold comes, beetles are fine, and then everything just goes to shit when you crank it up to, I don't know, 90 degree heat and moisture.
Mm.
And at, like, two Ugh. Days... the great part, the horror story, was this black, seeping liquid coming into my bathroom. No explanation, except for, I mean,
That's
I knew
demonic.
The bees were there. Yeah, I'll send you guys photos.
I knew the bees were there.
I knew the spoiler.
And then I said,
always
uh-huh,
there.
We have a bee problem.
Oh, there's a bee problem. So yeah, Mike, I'm
that
great.
Is...
It's good to see you.
That is wild, man.
But I love the idea. So I imagine, like, I'm imagining in my head, like, at some point in time, like, 7 years ago. Like
I was so happy.
Someone asked a beekeeper, like, hey, is this a problem? And the beekeeper's like, it's not a problem until it's a problem. And so it just wasn't fucked with. I've never heard of, is this a common occurrence in South Africa? Like, do you guys have a lot of wild bees kind of going around setting up in places?
It's just the bathtub entrance on the side wasn't constructed properly, so they didn't cover it up. So I did have pigeons in my bathtub at some point. Then I had what ants in my bathtub. Going on. And then we landed on bees, and I was quite happy because bees, you know, they're kind of, their populations are having struggles. So I thought I'm harboring bees.
Well, you know,
I'm doing
well, and when you go and have a you go and have a bath and you lay down and you give and you give the side of the tub a few quick thumps, and it just like, it's like a jacuzzi. It's just the whole thing. It's just like kind of
Actually super hot.
Kind of like roiling.
They keep the hive really, really hot, like 38 degrees, so, I don't know, 90 degrees, something like that.
That is so in...
I learned so
what
much.
What is going on
life you there? Live?
I hated things. I was ready to burn it down, but got it sorted.
I don't think we can top this story.
Yeah.
No, I thought the most interesting thing... I thought the most interesting thing we were going to have to talk about was Jean's beard.
Yep.
Is it harboring bees?
Wait a second. That's not
Are
a beard at all.
Made of bees?
No. I've seen shit, guys. No, you can't. No. I'm like, done.
It's like that scene from Shawshank Redemption where he opens his mouth and the and the bugs come out.
No.
Oh, jeez.
So that's my horror story.
All right, well, speaking of unexpected
stay safe
turns of events,
save,
let's
stay
get
we'll
back.
See you later. Bye. That was the episode.
That's it for the podcast, Lord. Yeah, let's get back to Impossible Landscapes. Jesus.
Which, oddly enough, is a preferable place to be.
Than the sound of your bathroom rotting and the beetles coming out.
Okay, one last thing. The worst part of all of this was the smell.
No.
The smell. So you know how like beer has that kind of acrid aftertaste, that yeasty kind of thing? You crank that up to 12. Mm-hmm. And that's what was unavoidable in my entire house. Anyways, let's get on with the show.
Narsty.
Yeah. Narsty.
Super narsty.
I think we can all agree from one to narsty, it's narsty.
It's a solid narsty.
Guys, last time we went, last time we met, we were talking... Well, we weren't talking. We were very much living the reality of how far you guys have come. How far Hank Ellis, how far Benedict Farthington, and indeed how far Busiak, though he's not been with the group as long, but how far even Busiak has come to be to this place. You know, there was an interesting moment there where even when you guys in the labyrinth, I think that there was... In the way that you guys had kind of given up on the idea of going back. I think Brad had said that specifically about Hank. Not really thinking they were going to get out. And even now, I imagine, you know, if these characters are real, there's probably a real question on are you ever going to get out? Because now, you guys have abandoned all pretense. You are in a supernatural, unnatural place. You are in Carcosa. You guys came to the ruined city. You went through the ruined city, you got in the boats, went through the cloud lake, underneath the twin dark suns of Ythil. Down, encountered the night flyers, this incredible, huge creature in the lake with these parasitic things living off it. You crashed down into the secret Ythil, this war-torn mishmash of cities that have all been slowly consumed from real places, but brought in to the court and the control closer to the center of the King in Yellow at the palace. And you guys know you need to get to the palace. You need to go to the palace, but this place is like war-torn. There's some type of war zone that you guys haven't even gotten to yet. And you guys, after miraculously saving Benedict's life, after he almost died, Busiak, the de facto leader of the group, really
saved his life.
Really saved his life. Sorry, that's the joke may be getting old, but still funny to me. Thank you, Brad. You guys have, and as you guys are trying to move through the city, move toward this palace, it seems just a block away. It just seems right around the corner. You can see it looming. You're trying to get there, but the more you go, it's, you know, just like in the night floors, things are difficult to navigate, difficult to get to. at the end of last time, you guys actually encountered your first time encountering anybody in this place, this strange family who are all wearing these kind of pillowcases on their heads and appears they might have been executed. They don't seem to know that, so it's all fine. You guys keep running into these supernatural, unnatural things. You encountered a German Luftwaffe fighter pilot or dive bomber pilot who attempted to kill you. There is this mishmash of historical things that you know and things from other times that you don't know. But like I said, at the end of the last time, the last thing we had done was that you guys encountered this family and you got back on the street. She basically said, "We got to get the fuck out of here," after something came out and ate the woman of the house out of the closet. And you guys elected to not go in after and attempt to save her, which I think really speaks just volumes about the moral depravity of your group.
Hank used to be so different.
Hank used to care. Mm-hmm. Now he won't even fight a horrible monster for a woman who's probably already dead.
Maybe it wasn't because I wasn't in the room, but I didn't read it that room, way. Actually. I thought she...
Hank wasn't in the room, okay. Yeah.
But even you describing it, I didn't understand that she was eaten by a monster.
Oh, something got her.
We closed
Something
the
got
door,
her big time.
And then blood seeped out of the closet.
Yeah, there's an implication.
I don't have enough evidence.
You just can't say for sure.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe.
That's what Hank's all about. But you guys are back on the street, still trying to push toward the palace, and I will tell you that as you guys push, there this sounds of combat, of artillery, of gunfire, of machine guns, screaming. It is getting closer. But that's where you are now. So, I guess I want to ask, how are these characters doing? What about Busiak? What's going on with Busiak now? Like, what's his motivation at this point? Or is he just going to go?
It's probably on, probably a little bit in survival mode right now. Can you remind me, so in that scene with the woman that got eaten, what was Busiak's reaction? It's been so long since we recorded.
Busiak, having been in the night world for a while, I think Busiak was like, no. It's like, not.
I thought that's, yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Like, he's changed too. He was definitely more of a Hank, like in the real world, like, you know, a real world hero. So for him to just like ignore an innocent person dying, like, well, that kind of speaks volumes about what.
And
he's
even
been
when
through.
You guys first went into that apartment with that family, like Busiak is like refuses to sit, like standing there with his axe out, like like don't trust this.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Benedict?
Benedict is in survival mode. He's just going, he needs to just finish this. He's seen too much, and he's also becoming a bit unhinged, going and entertaining the idea of having tea with these people that have clearly been shot in the head, and then going and pursuing one of them to see if he could get a costume for the ball. So I think he's a little unhinged and just wants to keep pushing.
Well, yeah, and keep in mind, Benedict is now much, you know, it's been a while since we got together. You know, Benedict is now freshly immune to violent sanity damage, which took, I believe, 4 charisma points from Benedict.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yikes.
It hurts. He's no longer...
So, what does that put your charisma at
11.
Nowadays?
He's now numbed.
Oh.
He used to be a sweet talker. Now he's numbed.
Yeah,
who's the face of the party now? What is Hank's charisma?
13.
Hank is the face.
Hank is the face.
Oh, and one other
that
thing
Hank face.
Is that he only has one bond left, and it's Hank.
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
How sad.
Uh-oh.
That's dangerous.
How sad. You know, there is actually a section in the player's guide about like Delta Green bonds, and yeah, they're great because, you know, you're always going through stuff with people, you know, so they're always kind of getting plussed up sometimes. And also they die sometimes. And when bonds die, that's a problem. You know?
Do you care to elaborate? Can you give us a scene of what happened between you and Papua New Guinea?
At this point, it's just been gone so long.
It has. Like, I think it would just be a fugue kind of state where he's looking back maybe over the horizon of the city and then eventually thinks, like, did I really have a pigeon for a pet? Was that something I read?
Or was it an entire hive of bees?
Was it bees?
What about Hank? Where's Hank at as you guys come back, like, kind of come back on these crowded streets?
He has, I think, more hope than he had in the labyrinth.
That's a poor choice.
Because it's, you know, faced with Benji's death, he knows there is stakes now. Or it was like, are we alive? Are we dead? Is this made up? He actually is gone. And also, he's as close as he's ever been to Abigail.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I guess...
The steps,
you know,
seem to be true steps. Accomplishable steps.
So... I mean, well, the fact that Benji is dead gives you hope.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. Well, but I think it's like, so it's like the fact that death is real, so things make a little more sense in a way, right? It's like like the whole dying and not dying for Hank, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
He at least knows he's not in a dream right now, probably.
Right.
Most likely.
It does make sense.
Not in a dream, okay. Yeah, so... Yeah, so here you guys are. You guys are kind of back on the street. Before you were kind of trying to move toward the palace. Is that still your... I assume that's still your intent?
We gotta find a tailor. I need a ball gown.
Right. We're gonna get Busiak a ball gown.
What about all this... It seems like the fighting's getting closer. Do we need to find our way around this? Or hide out? Or just straight shot. We just go straight through. No more distractions.
That's a good question. Can we actually like see missiles and like gunfire and like can we see conflict happening?
I would say that it is still, you know, you get the impression. Make me either an intelligence or alertness rolls. Let's see what we get here.
So a bunch of successes. 10 under 70.
Yep.
24 under 65.
Were those intelligence or were those...
intelligence for Busiak and Benedict.
Okay. Okay. give me sanity checks for the two of you, please.
Oh. What?
Okay. Success for Busiak.
Fuck.
Bumble for Benedict.
All right. Good Benedict start. Can take one sanity damage.
All right.
You guys, it becomes very clear to you that it's not always good to have a really good grasp of what's happening, right? That sometimes thinking a bit hard and understanding how fucked up it is actually not good. Busiak, you're able to kind of push it down. Benedict really does come to the...
I've thought about
Busiak,
it.
Busiak, you get here too.
We're dead. This fighting, we're dead.
We're dead, guys.
That's it. Let's just go out the way we want to go.
But Busiak and Benedict both... You both get the idea that... Despite the fact that you have kind of moved laterally in comparison to the... to the palace... It's like an old school video game where there's a skybox that's static. It's like the palace doesn't seem to move, and you don't know if you're moving in comparison to this conflict either. I would say that Benedict specifically, you take that 1 point of sanity damage as you really come to realize that even as you, that there are times when you're looking around where it feels like the palace is also behind you. Like there might be a moment where Benedict looks back the way they came and the palace is also there, but then looks back forward and the palace is also there. So it, there is this, there's almost this inevitability, but all of this like Escher type, like discombobulation that everything seems to be toward both the battle and the palace.
Okay.
Okay.
It's unavoidable. So we just have to be careful.
Sorry I asked.
So I think that the overall answer is probably a no. You don't feel like you can avoid it.
Buziak, you look after that flash grenade. That is my most precious item.
Yeah, right. I got it right here.
Yeah.
So the only thing to do is keep going forward, huh?
Who's going to lead the way here?
Buziak will.
All right. Go ahead and roll me a sanity check.
Let's see. Crit.
A crit. Okay. Okay. Buziak, you guys are following Buziak, and at some point in time, you get to an area where it first it seems like, oh, you've reached a dead end. But similar, maybe even to what Benedict was saying, as you guys try to double back, you see that these tenements, like these dents, like not even really like an alleyway every now and then, like these dense tenements, these dense apartments, and you know, with like shops on the bottom floor and the apartments going up 3, 4, 5 floors. It gets to the point where you actually double back and you realize that now there's apartments behind you as well. And at some point in time, Buziak, you like in your periphery, you see things shifting. You see that there might be a door trying to decide whether or not it wants to be a door, you know, or an alleyway, you know, kind of like flickering in and out, or maybe there. And it's hard to even say what the process of this things moving around you, but Buziak holds it together with a critical success on a sanity check. And not only that, Buziak, as you with this critical success, as you're moving, you actually there's a bit where there is like a small, it looks like a small alleyway that has like a shoddily made fence of like trash, but on the fence is like there's like a door in the fence, and there's an odd symbol. There's an odd symbol on the fence itself, that you've never seen before. And it is not the yellow sign, but it's something you've never seen before. And you see that beyond this small fence, you actually see there might be a single light on, and you do feel very much that this is the way forward. And there's even this feeling within Buziak that just beyond this next block, you think is where you need to go.
My brothers, I have had a revelation. We must go through the door and the trash fence.
All right.
I was kind of thinking also, staying on the road, but
the property value is probably at an all-time low. You should buy it now and sell high.
Can we make any sense of that sign?
Hank?
Well, yeah, Hank wants us. Oh, I thought you were going to say, do you make any sense of that? It's like, well, yeah, gentrification is very profitable.
Hank wants to study the sign. Or I'm assuming Hank will see the sign as well if he just kind of looks at the direction that Buziak's pointing them.
Yeah, you see that it appears to be... there are some things that you can make out in it, and it's like painted on with this red paint on the wall. And there seems to be, and something that you guys had seen previously when you'd kind of look towards the, because someone had rolled and like done really well in alertness, looking towards the palace. You'd seen that like up in the palace that there is a, that there is a, like a flag on top of the palace that is, that has like a, it's like a yellow flag with these two black stars and then like a field of smaller stars on it, which is very similar to what you see when you look up from this place. This has some of those elements, but it seems to be all in red, and there's a little, it just, it really feels to you like some type of splinter faction. It's like something that's similar but different, right? Like it's like it's got that feel to it.
Well, that is
it's like rebels against the Yellow King or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, there might be survivors of this battle and this.
Yeah.
Keep our wits about us.
Yeah. So you guys are going to go through the fence?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Busiak reaches for the door, and as you do it, it swings open quickly. And something unexpected pops through. A young man, probably in his early, who has no need to be down, he pops his head through the fence with his feet on the ground, and he has, like I said, he's young and he looks meticulously clean. He has a very waxed, neat mustache that's very from a different time. He's wearing like a pretty fine coat and a pair of glasses that are square, like perfectly square. It's very odd, not quite like anything you've ever seen. And he pops out and he looks both ways and he says something. Does anyone here speak Tartesian?
No, it was Benji.
I know Benji did.
Benji. Oh,
we immediately get sad.
Well, I got French and Czech.
No.
Okay, he looks out and he says something in Tartesian. You guys don't respond. He just says something in what sounds to be German. And I assume none of you respond terribly well either. And he does eventually get to English. He actually speaks through like two or three or four languages. Before he's like,
thank God.
He's like, hey,
yes, Queen's English, please.
he says, come in quickly before they see you. Not safe on the street. Quickly.
Okay.
Busiak will go in. He's like, who is they? And who are you?
What do you mean, who is they? The Black Wind. The Black Wind, they see you. They will shoot. They are enemies of the people, enemies of the uprising.
Those are them guys with shotguns and gas masks?
No, I do not know. Here, quickly, come here. He brings you into a small, and you see that the light you saw is from a single small apartment. And he quickly brings you in. He's like, quickly, you are very late. You are very late. I was expecting you hours ago. Quickly.
You expecting us?
Yes, of course. Who is going to be carrying?
Carrying what?
He turns around from a table and you see that he has what appears to be about 10 sticks of dynamite all wired into what appears to be some type of clock.
I'll grab it.
Is that thing safe?
I'll grab it. I don't mind. You know what? At this point, I'll grab it. This seems like an easy way out.
Yes. It should go off. It should go off at just the right time. At the when the ruling class is at the peak of their frivolous partying.
But,
in the palace.
But if we're late...
It should be perfect. Make sure it is placed somewhere appropriate.
If we're late, are you sure you timed this properly?
Oh, yes. I am sure. They always... The crescendo is always at midnight. Always.
Can I roll the demolitions on this contraption?
Absolutely. this is probably the perfect time to roll demolitions.
I've actually got a decent demolitions, and I still failed.
Damn it. You failed.
61 over 50.
Yeah.
Where are we going to put it? Where am I putting this? Under a chair?
Take it. Take it to the ballroom. Wherever it can reap the most devastation.
Do you have a nice gift box for this? I know it's a weird question. How big is this thing?
Roll me a dice.
Roll me a dice, he says.
Seems like an odd request at the moment.
Actually, I've got a D100 here. That's a 62.
No! Do not be ridiculous. does this look like the kind of place with boxes with pretty bows?
And he closes the door on a room that very clearly is full to the brim of gift boxes.
What does this look like?
Glitter that comes out of the door.
Hold on now.
It looks like Santa's workshop in there. He's just like, no.
Now, we're not in the habit of blowing up stuff and junk like that. Anyhow, we can't even get to this ballroom we've been trying to get to. I'm assuming you mean the palace. You want
Yes, of course. You're on the way.
Yes, but the way seems to be a bit jumbled.
Yes, but you are very close now. I can let you through the other side, and you will, but that is where things get dangerous.
The war zone's closer.
Oh, certainly.
Can you give us some cover?
Very close.
He does
I'm
not like
roll
the sound of that.
Persuade to get
NPC. You are going to need to.
That's a success, baby.
I do notice that you are not quite as charismatic as you used to be.
That's a success.
He is going to. He's wringing his hands.
No. Don't think about it. You came up with this idea. Do you remember? You said this about 3 seconds ago. You were like, you should join the party. And you will give us the covering fire to ensure the success of the mission.
I do not have any guns.
That's not a problem for us. No problem. We just need your presence.
Listen, I can do fact, this. I can do this to assist you. Only this. You understand. I'm already taking a great risk of even having my workshop here. I will do this. One moment.
And he quickly goes off and leaves you in this area. And this is clearly a bomb-making workshop. There are IEDs and explosives of all manner scattered. Like, it gets to the point where you even go to sit down, you're like, this is not a chair. This is just a stack of explosives. Like, it's everything from like, gunpowder in big old kegs to, like, plastic explosives. And before you guys can get any funny ideas and think you're going to take any of it, he comes back.
First question.
He comes back and he has with him a big pile of clothes. They all kind of smell of gunpowder and fire. And he flops them down. He says, there are some uniforms here. They may be of assistance to you if you're going through the no man's land. There appear to be specifically two kind of sets. There are some uniforms here that are they're like bright red, like almost like Napoleonic, with like they look like almost like parade uniforms. And then there is like a black trench coat that appears to be a much more muted kind of like early 1900s type military uniform. They all have either bullet holes or burns on them. These uniforms.
Who are the two factions of this war?
Oh, there's... It is... What are you even talking about? That's... They have the black wind.
And he holds up the black one. And, like, and there's a fez with the uniform. You know, like a... Like the little round hats with the flat tops on them. He's like,
there's the Black Wind, the foreign invaders. And then, of course, the King Stooges, and he spits.
Talking about the red uniforms.
Which side are you on?
I am on the side of the people. Who stand up against everyone who would push us down, foreign or the king.
Do you know who we are?
Well, of course you are. You are one of ourselves, here to take our explosive message to the palace itself. You have proudly and bravely offered your own lives to carry this explosive that even in your spectacular detonating death that we would show the king and his repertoire that the people stand against him. Uprising will live. The people will live.
I was going to ask about the blast
radius.
It's very
inspiring.
Because I'm not so excited about the giving of the lives part of that speech.
What do you mean?
I'm rest assured, I believe the people must prevail. But...
Yes.
I feel like there's a way out. There must be a way out. I want to celebrate with the people afterwards. You understand?
The way out is death. Death to the king!
How big is this bomb? Is it concealable?
Let's say that it's probably about the size, imagine, of two American footballs together.
That's pretty big.
It's a chunky boy.
Are you sure you don't want to come with us?
I am absolutely positive. My place in the revolution is here making ordnance.
Sorry, Hank.
But which direction are you going to point us with this bomb?
Here.
It's different from the direction we've been traveling this entire time.
You are going to continue towards the palace. I will tell you this. You want to find... I see that you have not gotten your outfits for the ball, your way to sneak in ways. This should be a priority for you. You have your invitation, yes?
Yes.
You have your invitation?
Yes.
We have a letter.
Don't we have the invitations?
You do not.
Oh.
We have a letter from Abby.
Who the fuck is Abby?
I thought we had... No, we don't.
No, it was for a birthday party of Richard Saloni.
Listen.
He puts
find...
out the birthday party invitation. This one.
You must find a way into the party. You need an invitation. But the only way to find that lies on the other side of no man's land. Okay.
Right.
Remember, gentlemen, you volunteered for this glorious suicide mission, and your memory will be remembered as the revolution marches on. Now, which of these uniforms are you taking?
All
now,
of them.
Hold. Yeah.
You might need the change.
Yeah.
Well, I would suggest we don't put on the red uniforms till we're past the no man's land. It seems like this is rife with the Black Wave, or whatever they're called. So maybe just one person put on this darker uniform. We keep the red one, at least a red coat, until we get closer to the palace.
What if we do the whole prisoner march thing? Where one of us
that's
acting
what I was
as
thinking.
A prisoner.
Nice.
It would be two of us acting as a prisoner. Oh, I see what you're saying. If we're doing the red, yeah.
We could switch around. We all carry guns, and then at the last minute, where whoever we see is coming towards us, they're the people holding the other people captive.
We'll walk around. I'll hold a gun up to Benedict, Benedict will hold a gun up to Hank, and Hank will hold up a gun to me, and that way all parties will be accounted for.
Exactly. Mexican standoff, but roving. Forwards. With a bomb.
I imagine just holding the bomb above your head. Just like full on. Arm's length.
Okay. Hey, can all we have some more bombs?
No.
What? Why?
Right.
Our plans are meticulously laid and expertly planned. We have many teams. Get the hell out of here.
Wait.
The thing about Joe's GMing, he's so subtle.
Glory to the revolution. All right. So you're putting on these clothes.
Yes.
Well, that's what I was saying. I think we should choose one to put on. Because what are they going to think if they see a person from one faction with two people from the other faction? In a war zone, that is.
You said the Black Wind is, like, surrounding us. So maybe Busiek will put on a Black Wind uniform for now. And y'all don't have to put on uniforms. Like, you could just be, you know, civilians.
No, Benedict's already in the red one. With...
Okay.
Okay.
But maybe then
and again, like, Hank doesn't. The red one looks way more, like, it doesn't look like it's looks very formal with, like, these, like, knee-high boots and, like the frilly shoulder bits and stuff like that. But this is...
Look,
has bullet holes in
my
it.
My reasoning
the one you're wearing.
Is that to get into the palace, we need an invitation. We need to be looking like the King's Stooges, I assume, to be able to get some kind of authority.
Right. All right, Hank will put on the red uniform.
Okay.
I think this is a bad idea.
So
it'll lead to shenanigans, I know that much.
So this guy, he takes you through the building, and, like, you guys, like, go through some areas where there's, like, the wall has fallen down between different apartments, and you can hear that steadily as you're moving. You hear yourself getting closer to what sounds like full-blown combat. And at one point in time, he gets you to a door. A door with a window to one side that's been boarded up, and he kind of looks through the window, and he's like, okay, the coast seems mostly clear. And about that time, there's like a whew, as like a bullet like ricochets in the near distance. And the door is barricaded from this side, and he pulls the boards down and, you know, moves the chair that's in front of it or the bookcase that's like in front of it, and he gets ready the door. He's like, you need to make a run across the street, across the plaza. Do not stop.
Shit. All right. Well, nice knowing you. Peace.
Glory to the revolution. Best of luck.
What's your name, friend?
Anton.
Anton.
Glory to the revolution. And God bless you. My suicidal friends. And go!
And he opens it, he flings open the door, and as he does this, there is, like, as soon as he does it, a bullet comes through and hits him square in his upper chest. And he just, like, falls back.
Glory for the cause, brother.
Go! Go!
And he starts to drag himself back towards the way you came, like, holding a hand over this bleeding chest wound.
Shit.
You guys...
So we're going to stay here, right?
Who's carrying the bomb?
Who's got the bomb? It sounds like it's Benedict me. Has the bomb.
Okay. All right. I guess Hank will try to navigate a route. Can he do an alertness before he starts sprinting?
Sure.
This.
Hank, you guys see in front of you, you see that this apartment opens up onto a big square plaza. In the middle is a ruined fountain, and what the decimated, like, twig-like remains of many trees. You even see one of these big glass boxes, like that maybe that I think Benji had seen from the when you guys were in the Broad Albin. It's all shattered and destroyed, and it's very clear that on both sides of this plaza are combatants, and they are shooting each other. You don't think they have even noticed you, but Hank, you can tell that you don't think they shot this guy on purpose even. Like, it doesn't even seem that anyone's even oriented, and they're so far away, and there's so much dust and smoke that you can't even make out who's who. But you think it becomes very clear very quick, Hank, with your successful alertness roll, you are able to very quickly suss out a big ass like drainage pipe that is goes down. It looks like there might have been like a pond or something here at some point in time. It's about 3 feet in diameter. You think that you guys could probably get all the way to the other side without attracting too much attention.
Oh, through the drainage pipe?
Yeah.
There, fellas, let's aim for the drainage pipe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys break over for the pipe, you get down, and I'd say right as the last of you, we'll say Benedict, you hazard a glance back over your shoulder, and you hear vaguely in the distance, "Long live the revolution!" as the building just absolutely erupts.
Oh.
Just the entire thing just explodes outward.
Good. Busiek side eyes the bomb. Benedict is holding.
Good thing we didn't stay there.
what a crazy asshole, am I right? You guys, without too much fuss, seeing as you found this pipe, you find yourself in, but you do get the there were remnants of battle, or maybe some vague signs that something was going on in the other part of the city. You guys have moved into an area of intense conflict. Every street has sandbags and barbed wire. There's military vehicles on their sides or set up as barricades. This place, and even as you guys are crawling through, you know, you might crawl over the body of what looks to be Benedict with your, you guys are crawling over. This looks like a young man who's kind of like wheezing with several bullet holes in his chest, who seems to have found his way down to this pipe as well. And Benedict, he appears to be, he like has regular clothes on, but he has the helmet and the overcoat of what you think is like a Russian Soviet soldier. Hmm. And you think there's little you can do for him. As you guys make it to the other side, you guys have
hold up
entered. Hey, you go ahead.
He's gonna bend down, say sorry, my friend, and he's gonna take the jacket and use it to cover the bomb, try and hide it up, so he's not just carrying a big bomb.
I will go ahead and say let's just go ahead and say for simplicity's sake, this guy might have like some type of satchel with him or something, that between jacket and satchel, you can find some way to haul this bomb around with you besides carrying it like a rugby ball.
Does he have anything else on him?
No. Are no, he sure? does not.
Did you check?
Roll search.
I'm positive. Okay. Roll he does search. Not. You know what? The satchel's not there. There's no satchel.
He's tricking us. Roll the search.
Classic misdirection. Who was this man?
Who was he?
What was his name?
But you guys make it through into the next set of apartments. Everything is blasted and blown apart. All windows are broken. As you guys are now completely surrounded on all sides by the war zone. And my friends, I think that probably is a good place for us to stop. For this one,
Benedict switches the satchel over to his front so that it looks like a little baby that he's carrying, and he's gonna cradle it from now on
through a war zone,
like one of those things where the baby is strapped to your chest, like a papoose.
Papoose,
yeah.
I barely knew Anton.
You think he'll be all right?
I don't think he's okay.
He's probably fine.
I can only hope.
All right. Guys, thank you so much. It has been a minute since we've been back, but things are heating up. You know, the ride through Carcosa is just one fucking... It's no good, guys. It's a bad time, and you guys, I think you guys are doing great.
I think I've just given up on the idea of having choices.
Right.
I actually prefer bomb makers with long, pristine mustaches to a family with holes in their heads.
Who have all been executed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pumpkin Cakes is with us again today. Says good to see us back.
Hello.
Ew,
good.
Pumpkin Thanks Cakes. For
joining. Glad you're joining us, Pumpkin. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. If you're listening, if you're watching, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying it too. If you want to get everything a week early, join us on Patreon. I've given you the spiel before. It's in the links wherever you're watching. We really appreciate it. And but yeah, guys, I'm really glad to be back. And so, you know, not to, I don't really care. Some people who do podcasts, they care about time stamping and stuff. I don't give a shit about any of that. But we are here. We are getting ready, mind, body, and soul, for the Christmas D&D one-shot.
Indeed.
Yes!
Mm. Can't wait.
Can't wait to see what these fellows have been up to.
Yeah. Well, I will remind you that last time, Brad, you were not too happy with what I had said had happened in the meantime since you guys had last played. But yeah, I can't wait to see Leon again. Yeah. All right. But that will be coming up here soon. Yeah, it just, he was not happy. And I'm looking forward to making Brad unhappy again. That's one of my favorite pastimes.
Can't wait.
But yeah, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listening, if you're watching live, stay tuned. We are going to take a break, and we're going to be back for a little bit more, see what happens in the war zone. If everyone listening, everyone watching later, thank you so much for joining us. And it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to be with you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. As always. Man. And as you said, like, we will be back here in a minute. Everyone else, thank you for listening. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.